by members of the KMXT news team.
And welcome to this week's episode of Talk of the Rock. I am your host, Jared Griffin. It is it's October. It's National Seafood Month. And with that in mind, Kodiak is the number three fishing port in the United States. We land over 350 million pounds of fish each year. It's pretty impressive. And Kodiak is hosting the fisheries debate this week during this very important election season. So on this week's Talk of the Rock, we're going to talk fish and politics. Oh, yes. I can just hear the roar of applause in the room right now. So to help us talk about fisheries this election season, I'm joined by Kirsten Dobroth, a KMXT news director, and Terry Haynes, host of the Alaska Fisheries Report. Welcome.
Hello.
Thanks, Jared.
You ready for this? Okay. So let's start by talking about the fisheries debate. So last night was the gubernatorial part of the debates with two candidates for governor, former governor Bill Walker and Representative Les Guerra, who they both answered a variety of questions, some more informal than others, and they also broached some policy issues. So, Kirsten, you covered last night's debate for KMXT and for the statewide public media network. So what are some of the bigger takeaways from the debate last night?
Yeah, I think everybody who was in attendance and or listening or watching virtually got the impression and the takeaway that Bill Walker and Les Guerra are not fans of the current governor Mike Dunleavy's budget and his fish policies. They both took pretty early on ripped budget cuts as hurting fisheries management. And the need for more science was also something that came through very clearly early on. They both spoke about the need for not just federal agencies providing fishermen in Alaska with science to make decisions and help with their livelihoods, but also empowering the state agency, the Department of Fish and Game, to be able to do that those research studies. And they really hounded the governor and his budget cuts as being things that had taken the state's ability to do that away. And that was loud and clear, I think, at least even in the early first few minutes opening remarks of the debate.
Right. I think it's safe to say they both advocated for a more robust fish and game budget. And then, you know, of course, Les Guerra couched it in terms of a more robust budget in general for the state. But I think both of them, and I think it was Les Guerra who specifically said this, criticized our current Alaska Department of Fish and Game commissioner for saying that he had been asking for the federal government to fund more research for fisheries that we need right now. And his point was that the state should be a full partner in doing research, and we're going to have to fund our own research. And Governor Walker agreed with that, too. He was also very adamant that we needed the research to make the correct decisions.
Right. I think the Les Guerra's line was something along the lines of the current Alaska Department Fish and Game Commissioner's job right now is to testify about the studies he's asked the feds for, which I thought was it was a burn, you know.
Yeah,
right.
And definitely.
I think Governor Walker said that as far as that kind of thing went, we had been kicking the can down the road for so long that the can was kicking back. And his point was that we didn't have, now that we need a lot of information to make quick decisions while climate change is changing things quickly, we don't have that information and we're scrambling to get up these research projects that will give them to us.
Right.
So You went ahead and jumped in with the fact that, yes, Governor Dunleavy wasn't there. Did that really affect the content and tenor of the whole debate, or were there places where you really started to see Walker and Guerra diverge from themselves?
you know, I felt like there are certainly places where they have some divergent views. It's a lot of overlap. It's hard to say what the dynamic would have been like if the current governor was there. I did have a chance to speak with both Les Guerra and Bill Walker here in our studio before the fisheries debates, and they both were pretty critical of the governor's decision not to attend the Kodiak fisheries debates. Les Guerra said, and I quote, that the current governor has policies he's trying to run away from. And I believe Bill Walker said something along the lines of it being disrespectful not to attend. So, you know, it's hard to say. They certainly aimed a lot of their ire at the current governor's policy. It's hard to say what the dynamic would have been if the current governor was on the stage with them.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's safe to say the entire debate was against the backdrop of the current governor. And they referred to him, you know, constantly as sort of their sounding board of, like, don't do this. You know, we would never have a budget that's run like this. And most of his policies they disagreed with. But on the other hand, you know, to be fair for the governor, you kind of have to sketch in his policies in his absence. And, you know, the two things he's been not shy to talk about are bycatch and I'm sorry to have a moment.
Mariculture.
Yeah. And, you know, he set up the bycatch task force and really did have a fairly well-defined mariculture policy in place. And their plan was to actually fund some research capability and some training. So, you know, I think you could say that Governor Dunleavy has also at least been making the signals about bycatch and has seemingly at least started the work toward mariculture, which his administration did describe as a $500 million potentially industry of the future.
And they did talk a little bit. They both Les Guerra and Bill Walker were slightly divergent in what they said about the particularly the bycatch review task force. Mm-hmm. Bill Walker indicated that they both said this is kind of convenient timing for Governor Dunleavy that it came out with these preliminary proposals right before the election. It's not really coming out with the proposals at a time that the legislature can do anything with them. And Les Guerra actually called it powerless and said that he would like to see more. That the issue of bycatch comes down to getting the right people on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. Walker kind of went in a different direction and said that he would like to see the task force remain. I think he said something to the effect of being a carpenter and that you don't, you know, build a house and have somebody else come in and tear down a wall, that he wants to have that task force stay and continue to do the work that they're doing and that it's important work. But he also agreed that it was kind of a convenience for the governor, the current governor, for the November election.
And you're talking specifically about the bycatch task force.
Yes.
Earlier in February, Governor Dunleavy established the Alaska Food Security and Independence Task Force, which seems to was a big part of that was the mariculture element of it. And there have been criticisms from Guerra. I haven't really heard from Walker, but yeah, has very little teeth or no teeth behind these task forces.
You know, when I interviewed Bill Walker yesterday, he actually talked a lot about task force, not a lot, but, you know, I asked him about it, about creating these task forces.
Right.
And would you keep them in place? It was specific to the bycatch task force. But he said, you know, it tends to be this political thing, create a task force here, create a task force there. So, you know, as far as the food security task force, we didn't discuss that. But it sounds like, at least particular to bycatch, he did say that the people that are on that group are really important in the industry. They're really knowledgeable. They know what they're talking about. And it's their work should continue if he were elected.
And to be fair to the task force, you know, task forces by their nature are, you know, have a limited lifespan.
Very limited.
If they weren't, they wouldn't be a task force. They'd be a committee or an advisory panel, mm-hmm, or something like that. And I think that's what Governor Walker was saying, was that while we have this structure up, you know, just keep it running and make it a committee or an advisory panel. And I think to be fair to this task force, it is true that it was politically handy, and that may have been in the governor's mind when he created it. But you do have to give them credit for providing the resources for the task force. They've been meeting steadily since their creation, and have actually come up with some products, including most recently at their last meeting, some recommendations about the kinds of research that would help the state come up with policies if they could fund them. So, I mean, as far as, you know, grading the task force's work, I think you'd have to give them a pretty good grade. Although, you know, of course, it is true, as they both pointed out, that the task force doesn't have any authority. But any advisory panel or committee, any advisory panel, that's going to be the case.
And so other than responding to the backdrop or the absence or shadow of Dunleavy at the debate, what were some of the other bigger kind of policy things that Walker and Guerra talked about, maybe like their own plans, their own policies?
I felt like a lot of the conversation was very forward-looking. Former Governor Bill Walker identified one of the things he sees as a big challenge to the seafood industry is people aging out of commercial fishing and making sure that younger people have access to getting into the industry and making sure that, generations are able to carry on that business. I think he referred to seeing every boat as a small business and as a family business. And that stood out to me, that he's looking at this as something that, you know, how do we continue making sure this is a good livelihood for people in Alaska? And Les Guerra also talked about that, in particularly talked a lot about the science. He repeated this both to me in the studio when we spoke before the fisheries debate and on the stage about making sure the fish come back and, making sure that that's a prosperous and secure livelihood for people, both commercial fishermen and subsistence harvesters in different parts of the state. And I thought that was something that they kind of both hit on again and again, was that forward-looking vision into making sure this is a secure avenue for people who depend on it.
Right. And, you know, I guess even though it wasn't in a question that allowed the candidates to really express much on them, the catch shares and IFQ fisheries were kind of in the background of especially Governor Walker's response about that first initial, the expense of getting into the fishing business anymore. Mm-hmm. He went on about that. He expounded about that for a while. But, you know, I think it's safe to say that for all three candidates, they've identified bycatch as a handy bad guy. It seems like, you know, they realize that bycatch, I think for a lot of politicians, the pebble mine is the same way. They realize that the numbers are there for more Alaskans are concerned about bycatch and having it reduced than are concerned that, you know, the trawl industries will be, you know, significantly harmed.
Mm-hmm. So there was a pretty wide variety of questions at the debate last night. Some were kind of warm and others a little more policy oriented. What are some of the questions or areas that you would like to see the candidates spend more time on? Let me start with Terry.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, they started to wander off when they got on their own into some subjects that might have been expounded on more, more even about, you know, what kind of things they would do about bycatch, you know, what they could do. There weren't any questions about implications of a potentially reauthorized Magnuson-Stevens Act. I know that might be more in the ballpark of the federal delegation. But still, it could mean a big difference, you know, especially if there ended up being some native representation added. And, you know, it would have been nice to have maybe fewer questions with more time for the candidates to offer small criticism to expound on them. We did spend some time on get-to-know-you questions, kind of like if you had to be observed, would you be observed by electronic monitoring or by a person? Both of which sounded kind of creepy to me.
And that was one question where they actually divergent
they,
on
they
that.
Did.
Walker
did.
Chose the electronic monitoring and Guerra chose the human monitoring.
He said he'd want to talk with someone.
Yeah, nice to have someone to talk to. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough to figure out how to structure those kinds of opportunities.
I also thought it was interesting that I think to your point, Terry, I don't think I heard Magnuson-Stevens once in the debate last night. And yeah, that is very much in the federal purview, but I thought maybe we'd have more discussion about that last night. And I think the pebble mine only came up once, and it was, I believe, Les Guerra brought it up kind of in passing in a response to another answer. And I can't remember what that answer was in regards to, but I was surprised we didn't hear more about that. And I also was a little surprised we didn't, you know, there was a lot of talk about bycatch and the need for science, but I didn't hear a lot about that issue and how it relates to salmon declines, particularly for the Yukon-Kuskokwim area. I didn't think that came up quite as much as I assumed it would for how important that issue is.
Right. It would have been nice to hear a couple of questions about the declining salmon populations in some areas. You know, that could have been sort of part of the... They did have a question about how do you deal with the changing ecosystem. And they both answered with science, which is you know, a true enough answer.
With science. It's an easy answer to, you know.
Well, and I think going back to your first question, if there's anything I would take away, like the two things that jumped out at me was they are not fans of, both candidates are not fans of the current governor's budget, and both candidates think there is a very much a big need for more science in fisheries management.
Right, and they tied those two things together in that you have to have it in your budget to pay for science rather than going around. I think one of them said with your cup in your hand to the federal government and asking for the science you want.
In that same vein too, just they both were asked who they would choose for a fish and game commissioner. And both outlined the need for someone passionate. You know, I think former Governor Bill Walker talked about what a sprawling agency is and how much oversight, you know, is required in that position, and they need to be a good manager. And both of them, again, talked about the need for science, the need for someone that is receptive to science and not a politician and not partisan. That was another big thing, particularly Les Guerra really honed in on that question.
Right. And that's something both of them made comments about, was that fisheries, again, part of the science argument, that fisheries decisions should be driven by science and not politics. And some of them, and the inference, and some of it was direct, was that the present administration's shift to more of a sport, personal use preference in fisheries management was as a result of, you know, who is, you know, his major financial backers rather than who is, you know, telling him at Fish and Game, you know, what to do. And, you know, that I think goes to maybe another question that they could have been asked is that, you know, in instances like that where you have places like the Upper Cook Inlet and where you have personal use and sport fishermen whose interests are not in alignment with commercial fishermen, you know, out in the bay in Cook Inlet, and how do you deal with that kind of conflict between two completely legitimate user groups?
And so, Terry, you, so we've been kind of talking from the kind of journalistic, kind of political angle. As a fisherman yourself, what do you get a sense of how fishermen would have responded to last night's debate? Not to put you as like the voice of the commercial fisherman.
No,
but,
that would not be fair. I haven't fished for a while now. I'm not in good enough shape anymore. Well, you know, I think that, you know, they did a good job of telling fishermen their basic, you know, ground basis of their fisheries policy. I think both of them pretty much did a good job of that. With regard to specifics, you know, sometimes we didn't get a lot of specifics. I mean, bycatch is easy to talk about, and it's easy to deride the present governor's policies. But in fact, it's a very complicated, nuanced issue, just like every issue in fisheries. And that was one thing that kind of their section of questions in the debate last night that were just yes, no with signs. It struck me that there are no yes, no answers in fisheries questions. There just aren't. There are very few of them that aren't about 2 pages long. So, you know, I think as a fisherman, though, you know, they probably did a good job of telling you what, you know, their you know, basis for their policy would be, which would be to fund more research and to appoint people to the council who would be looking after more Alaska interests, I guess.
All right. Let's circle back to mariculture, which is really taking off in Kodiak, but also another significant fisheries issue, which is subsistence too. Dunleavy has kind of presented his plan for mariculture. I think it's going to be a multi $100 million industry, and introducing that task force earlier this year. Did you get a sense of what Walker and Guerra's plans or ideas or policy concerns are as regards to mariculture, subsistence?
Again, they talked a bit more broadly about it. Both indicated a strong want to support and invest in it, and then they thought it was a pretty exciting opportunity for people in coastal communities in Alaska. Bill Walker had a few funny anecdotes about trying some seaweed at Crab Fest this May, and he's a big fan of some seaweed beer.
He told an anecdote about that. He didn't say Ben, but it was obviously Ben at our local brewery let mm-hmm. him try some of the seaweed beer that their brewery.
He was a fan, so Bill Walker approved. Didn't tell me to say that. I think, the only real thing I felt like that was maybe policy specific was Les Guerra mentioned that he would be in favor of offering small business loans to fishermen to get started in kelp farming, and that, in between fishing seasons, that could be a pretty lucrative opportunity. But I felt like a lot of the mariculture section was a bit broad, aside from indicating they support it.
They did. They both talked it up as a potential industry, and again said that the need for research and help from the state was crucial. I think one thing that was very evident was, mariculture, when you think about kelp farming or oyster farming or that kind of thing, they were definitely in favor of. But then both of them were careful about their support of salmon hatcheries, with regard to how they fit in with the environment. And you could tell that both of them had been talking to fishermen about potential conflicts between hatchery fish and wild runs.
They definitely towed that one with caution. I think they both said yes in favor of, in support of them, and both kind of immediately, as long as it doesn't harm wild fish. Mm-hmm. That came immediately after.
Well, there are some hatchery runs in the Southeast that, for fishermen, that's your paycheck for the year now. They have some amazingly, successful chum runs that are completely artificial. But here in Kodiak, it's a little more controversial, I think in other places where you already have existing salmon runs. Mm-hmm. And, that's one untold story in the bycatch is of hatchery fish from Japan. It turns out, the chum cap was one thing that was mentioned in the debate. Was that the governor refused to insist that our representative on the council vote for a cap on chum caught. The one thing that wasn't mentioned is most of those chum, 80% or more, are hatchery chum from Hokkaido. And the real question is, how much of those hatcheries chum out there, and it's something that scientists have asked, but it's one other thing they don't have any research on, how much of those hatchery chum from Japan mm-hmm. competing with our natural how much are they competing with our natural runs?
Well, that's kind of a good segue into the last big segment for this episode, is thinking about the federal government's role in fishery policy. So looking forward to tonight is the U.S. House fisheries debate with Mary Paltola, Sarah Palin, Nick Begich will be here are already
Chris
here.
Chris Bye as well.
Chris Bye, yes. And then immediately after that, or after a little break, the senatorial fisheries debate with Lisa Murkowski and Pat Chesbro will be here. The Republican challenger, Kelly Chewbacca, will not be here. So what do you expect to hear and see tonight from the moderators and from the questions, different questions, issues addressed tonight? What should we be looking forward to?
Well, I'm wondering if the two things we felt like we didn't hear, which were Pebble Mine and Magnuson Stevens, will come up. I actually just had a chance to interview Senator Murkowski, and we spoke a little bit about the Magnuson Stevens renewal that just made it out of House committee. She indicated she hadn't had much of a chance to look at that version, and you know, it's very early on, it would still have to make it through the House and make it to the Senate, but that, you know, there are some parts of that in regards to bycatch that are very limiting and might have an effect that isn't in the interest of all the fisheries in Alaska. And you know, also that wanting to get those tribal seats on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council should be a priority, but we can't sacrifice Alaska seats and our majority on that council.
So can you back up just a second for our listeners who may not understand what that little debate, or not, it's not really controversy, but what that issue is?
Yeah, so about the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, about getting the extra seats. So right now, Alaska has 6 seats on this North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. It gives Alaska the majority. And there's been discussion about adding tribal seats to this council for Native representation, which there is support for, but the caveat to that would be making sure that those 2 tribal seats are coming from Alaska if they are added, so that Alaska doesn't lose majority on the council to be able to make those decisions when it comes to fisheries management policy.
Right, and that's why I think the discussion of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, which has been a reauthorized version, I think, is in the House now in a committee, but it's moving, and Mary Peltola has been active on the committee that's working on that. It'd be interesting to see, because there are so many policies inherent in the Magnuson-Stevens Act. I think it would be a great discussion point to talk about a lot of different things. But that's one of the things that's in there is Alaska Native representation on the council. But that could look a lot of different ways. It could be voting or non-voting, 1 or 2 seats in addition to the seats right now, or in replacement of a seat. So there's a lot to hash out. It'd be interesting to hear that. It would be interesting to also hear the other candidates, especially House candidates' views on permanent protections for Pebble Mine. We were pretty clear with Senator Murkowski has spoken about the need to have them and different ways that you could get them. It would be interesting to hear about the House candidates' views on that. And, you know, just the Magnuson-Stevens Act in general. Things like little language changes, you know, changing things like overfished to depleted could make a big difference in management decisions. Mm-hmm. Changing things like to the extent practicable, which is what you were, to the extent we're supposed to reduce bycatch now, to the extent possible, could be a big change. And it'd be interesting to hear, you know, what all the candidates for the federal offices have to say about the reauthorized version of the Magnuson-Stevens that's making its way through.
I was just gonna say I was just going to add on to that as well. You know, I think it will be interesting to see. Obviously, Mary Peltola is now our representative. Mm-hmm. She's been in Congress since early September. She'll have had a little bit of experience in committee. She's already been involved in these negotiations to reauthorize Magnuson-Stevens. So she's kind of coming in, I think, to the debate with a little bit of a head start on some of these candidates that are trying to get people's attention, particularly in Kodiak and all the other fishing towns and coastal communities in Alaska that are tuning in about what they can bring to fisheries policy. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out tonight, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And I think this these two, because the races are so close and control of the House and the Senate is pretty up in the air, it's going to be interesting to see if we get any national coverage of some of the debates tonight. Well, thank you, Kirsten and Terry, for talking fisheries and politics and debates. We will see you tonight at 6:30 at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium for the second round of debates.
Thank you. Jared.